When I first heard the news about a shooting in a church on Wednesday evening, I thought about the Unitarian Church in Charleston, and I went through the news articles quickly on the internet to look for the name of the church. I discovered that the attack had occurred in an African Methodist Episcopal church. And I looked for it on a map. In Charleston, the historic AME Church is located about a mile from the historic Unitarian Church. I thought back then to the first time I ever met an AME minister. It was in 1978. We were at a community meeting in Lexington, Kentucky. I was a new minister, 27 years old, and I thought, what a strange name. Not Methodist, not Episcopalian, African Methodist Episcopal. During a break, I asked the minister where the name came from. He said, "Free blacks created the AME Church in Philadelphia. They broke away from the Methodist Episcopal Church in 1787, bought land, and established their own church in 1794 because the whites did not want us to worship with them. Back then, white Methodists called their churches Methodist Episcopal Churches. And following their example, African Americans chose the name African Methodist Episcopal Church." Eventually, he explained, the light-skinned Methodists changed their name to the United Methodist Church, but we, African Americans, we kept our original name, the African Methodist Episcopal Church. I discovered that the AME Church has 3.5 million members. It has 12,000 churches worldwide. To put this in perspective, Unitarian Universalists have 200,000 adults and children. In other words, the AME Church is 17 times larger than the Unitarian Universalist Association. And stupid me, I went all the way through seminary without learning anything about it. But I worked with this AME minister on the issue of fair housing in Lexington, Kentucky. I gained respect for his church. I was paired with a member of his congregation, and together they trained us to do testing on fair housing. We learned how to document discrimination. He and I would arrange to meet in parking lots near a real estate agency. My new friend from the AME Church referred to me as Agent 707. We would flip a coin to see which one of us would go into the real estate office first to make this a random test. Well, when I went in, the real estate agents always shook hands with me. When he went in, they did not touch him. When I went in, they would always offer me coffee. They offered him nothing. When I asked about seeing some of the houses that were for sale, they would put me in a car. They would drive me around the community and show me at least three houses. When he asked about seeing houses, they asked him to bring in a credit report from his bank. Working with a coalition of religious groups and testers, we documented discrimination. We confronted the real estate board, and we forged an agreement to work to end this discrimination. But of course, it's still ongoing, an ongoing struggle. In the process, I developed strong, positive feelings for clergy and for the members of this African Methodist Episcopal Church. It's a denomination with a proud history. The AME Church has been at the forefront of civil rights in America for 200 years. They established the first African American churches in our country. Their Philadelphia Church, on land that they bought in 1787, is the oldest church property in the United States continuously owned by African Americans. To establish independence, they sued the state of Pennsylvania for the right for their church to exist as an institution independent of the light-skinned Methodist congregations. From Philadelphia, the new denomination spread across America. In Charleston, in 1816, and then in 1818, 1,400 African Americans worked together to establish themselves as the African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston. 2 years later, law enforcement officers jailed the ministers of the church for violating state and local laws that prohibited religious gatherings of slaves and freed blacks without white supervision. In 1822, law enforcement officers investigated Charleston's AME church members for their involvement with a planned slave revolt. Police arrested 313 alleged participants, and they executed 35 of them. The church itself was burned to the ground. Worship service continued after the church was rebuilt in 1834, all black churches were outlawed by the state of South Carolina. So the congregation had to meet in secret until 1865, when they were finally formally recognized and allowed to resume public legal services. Meanwhile, nationally, the AME Church emphasized the importance of education. After the Civil War, AME leaders established 12 colleges and graduate schools. Actually, the first one was established just before the Civil War in Ohio, Wilberforce, named after an abolitionist in England. By 1880, they operated over 2,000 schools. The AME Church operated over 2,000 schools, chiefly in the South, with 155,000 students. For schoolhouses, they used the church buildings. The ministers and their wives were the teachers. The congregations raised money to keep these schools operating. With 3.5 million members today, the African Methodist Episcopal Church is one of the three major African American denominations in the United States. The other two are the African American Baptist denominations, which make up 13 million members, and the Pentecostal Church, the Church of God in Christ, with 6 million members. The black church was the first American institution that belonged exclusively to people of African descent, and it provided not only spiritual refuge and counseling, but also a place from which to organize their community. An African American family could find support, and still can find support, in the church. The church offered opportunities for participation in choirs, in the Sunday school, in Bible study. In this way, the black church was and is the primary way African Americans have been able to survive in our racist culture. In a description of the AME Church under the heading Church Mission, I found this list. The mission is to preach the gospel, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to house the homeless, to cheer the fallen, to provide jobs for the jobless, to administrate to the needs of those in prisons, hospitals, nursing homes, asylums, and mental institutions, and senior citizens' homes. To care for the sick, the shut-in, the mentally and socially disturbed. To encourage thrift and economic advancement. And to bring people back into the church. This is the mission of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. One of my favorite quotes is by a man named John McMurray. He wrote, "There are two, and I think only two, emotional attitudes through which human life can be radically determined. They are love and fear. Love is the positive principle of life, while fear is the death principle in us. I mean that literally." And we go on to explain it by saying that you can divide people most fundamentally into two classes: those who are fear determined and those who are love determined. John McMurray. In 2008 and again in 2012, our nation, our country, made a turn towards love and away from fear when a majority of Americans elected and then re-elected the first person of color as our president. However, some people are terribly afraid of this change. A minority of white people in our country blame persons of color for their problems. As the majority of Americans have turned in the direction of love, a minority has become more and more fearful. Gun sales increased by 400% after President Obama was reelected. As the majority of Americans, the majority of us, have turned towards love, towards a future, a positive future. This week, one young man turned to hate. Friday evening, one of the AME churches in Sarasota held a prayer vigil. The announcement read, "During a sacred time of teaching the gospel, a gunman opened fire. Clergy, members of all faiths, and the community at large are invited to come out and show your support while we honor those who have been taken from us all too soon." I canceled my plans and joined two others from this congregation. We only heard about this late on Friday afternoon, but three of us attended. There was singing and there was praying. And one woman told a story I want to share with all of you. As I tell the story, I invite you to imagine that you are in an AME church in Sarasota, just a short drive from here. She said, "Thursday night, we had the media here. TV came and interviewed us about how we were feeling, a local story about the AME church in Sarasota in reaction to what happened up in Charleston, talking about Bible study and the sacredness of that and how upsetting it was to all of us." And she said, "And then the reporter packed up the camera and left, and the others in the congregation who had come for the interview left, and there was just two of us left here in the sanctuary. And we were having a conversation about our fear. We talked about how some people said, 'I'm going to bring a gun to church from now on. I'm going to protect myself.' Other people said, 'Maybe we need metal detectors to protect ourselves.' This fear, this desire to be safe in worship. And we talked about when we encounter a young white man, do we feel afraid? And then at that moment, she said, the two of us were here in the sanctuary at the AME church, and a young white man walked in and said, I'm sorry to bother you. Is it all right if I just come in and pray for a few minutes? What do you do? She said, we said, yes, it's okay. And he came in and he sat in one of the pews. He was silent in prayer for about 5 minutes and then he left. And she said, it was as though God had sent a messenger to us at that moment saying, we need to not be afraid. We need to be able to love. Now, of course, as a Unitarian Universalist, my rational side said as I heard the story, well, God didn't send a messenger. This just was a coincidence. But then my emotional side said, but this is about love. This story is not about God. This is about the capacity of these people having been taught in their churches all of their lives, the importance of loving the stranger. They were able to bring that forward and overcome their fear. And how important that is. What does it say in the New Testament? You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Now, I find value in all of the great world religions. Each of the great religions makes a special contribution to human civilization. And the special contribution of Christianity is to teach us about the nature of love. For Jesus' love was not poetical, not theoretical, not sentimental. For Jesus' love was concrete, visible, and practical. Love was courageous action. So Christianity is a story about a dark-skinned, brown-eyed man who walked around the countryside without position, without possessions, telling parables. He embraced the poor, the outcast, and the sick, and he protested their condition. He did not found a church or create a denomination. He did not require vows or oaths or creeds. Instead, the Gospels described a man who granted equality to women, to children, and to strangers. He urged people to liberate themselves from the inner evils of fear and hatred and prejudice. A disciple asked, Teacher, what commandment in the law is the greatest? And he said to him, you shall love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is a pretty high standard. Strictly speaking, most of us cannot be Christians. Fully following the example of Jesus' life is simply too hard for most of us. We all struggle with our own failures and our own temptations, our own fears and anxieties, our own hatred. When a minister, what minister, what priest is going to authentically say, genuinely say, let's help everyone. Let's forget the consequences. Not me, I can only preach what I'm willing to do myself, and that is a meager portion of the original gospel. Living by the teachings of Jesus is hard. But I saw the example of this great love 35 years ago when I worked with a member of the African Methodist Episcopal Church back in Kentucky. I saw it on Friday when I attended a prayer service at the AME Church here in Sarasota. I saw this love this week as I looked at the news reports from Charleston. Religious communities like the community of the African Methodist Episcopal Church give the people the strength to be resilient in the face of loss. May our own community affirm the unfailing renewal of life. May we affirm that out of every loss, the spirit of individuals shall rise to build a better world.